The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Hey, hello everybody. Love. Welcome to the show.
To silence our voices.
Glad to have you all along. Thank you for joining us on the National Intel Report. Great song introduction. I'd love to hear the rest of it. We've got to get on into the show because I got a great one for you tonight. This is Steve's Stars, not Steve Elkins. I am glad to be here with you. And we are really, we got a great show lined up here. And I have a legendary guest, a friend that goes back at least 30 years now. 31, as far as I know, is when I first contacted her. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Excuse me. She is a tremendous writer, a journalist. We could talk about her father. He was a legend in radio in his time. 60 years on air, he's in the Radio Hall of Fame. His name is Barry Farber. He was way ahead of the curve. He was even Rush Limbaugh, you know, looked up to him in the early days. Of course, Barry was far more of a human than Rush Limbaugh ever was, and more honest too. But we'll get into that a little bit. But you know, she started writing at a very early age. She's written columns for us. I'll tell you about the Spin articles in a little bit. But first of all, I want to mention, you know, a lot of the other Rolling Stone, Vanity Fair, Harper's, just a lot of different places. Esquire. She has written a lot of articles. One of the top journalists of our time, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been telling people and warning people about for 30 years. I've been at it for 31, and she's been at it for 35. She was 5 years ahead of me. And I want to say this, and I've said it publicly many times. If it hadn't been for the courage and the determination and the bravery and the ongoing pursuit that Celia Farber had put together in her aspect of what she was doing with journalism, I probably would have never finished my documentary in 96. I started in 92 and didn't get it finished until 1996. And Celia was the one who kept me going because she was writing these articles for Spin magazine, and they were coming out words from the front all that time. And when I heard about what they were going to do in Africa, they were going to start poisoning these children, these pregnant women, with AZT and killing millions of people. And she got involved in that, by the way. We stopped a huge mass genocide in Africa. And we can go into that. I don't want to get into too much of this too much. She's got some things coming out. I can't even talk about them. It's exciting. But I don't know if RBN has ever had a chance to hear her. And I wanted to get her on tonight because, you know, I'm sitting in for Steve Elkins. He's not feeling good. Keep him in your prayers. You know, the National Intel Report is a legendary show here, as you know, and I wanted to do the best I can for you tonight because I think you're going to really like a little bit of time. You know, Celia's pretty busy. She's got deadlines. She's still working on things. And by the way, you can go to her Substack, Celia Farber, F-A-R-B-E-R, at Substack, Celia, C-E-L-I-A-F-A-R-B-E-R, at Substack.com. I'm on there all the time. Great people, a lot of really, really fine people. And she is up to date, putting out all kinds of things. It's not just about the germ scare stuff that we're dealing with, friends. But anyway, I am really glad to invite her on the show. I think she's there. Mr. Producer, is Celia joining us? Is she with us yet? I think she is. Celia? Let's see. Oh, okay. Celia? Well, she may be on mute or something for a moment. Oh, she might be. She'll be. She said she'd be coming in a little bit during the show. She's busy with a deadline right now, and she's really working hard at it. But she's taking some time out because this is important. Our audience is important. Her message is important. What we're doing, because, like I said, we started this 30 years ago. I've been tracking Fauci 30 years. She, John Rappaport, Joan Shenton from Meditel, another great journalist. We've probably had her on, I think, before, too. Dave Rasnick, so many good people. Peter Duesberg, of course, you may know him. Richard Stroman, so many other wonderful people. Kerry Mullis. Okay, we're going to see what's going to happen pretty quick here. And we'll try to bring her on. And she's, she'll be calling in pretty quick. And we're going to have a little bit of her time. And, of course, when we get to talking, you're going to feel the excitement of it because big things are happening. You saw what's happening with Elon Musk. You've seen all these different kinds of things that have happened. And we have had just an incredible amount of breakthrough information going out on the news media right now, a tremendous amount. And so that's one of the reasons why we want to keep at it, and we want to go. We've got to press this now, friends, because we are up against a mass poisoning that's taking place. This is one of the worst times in human history. This is a biblical plague, and maybe only one of the first ones, if we don't stop these people. As you know, Fauci is a madman. He's a dangerous maniac. He's a germ hunter. He does nothing but create germ scares and toxic remedies like this poisonous jab. And we'll be talking a lot about that. And we're going to go back to the early days of HIV/AIDS. Now, if you did see RFK Jr., his film, The Real Anthony Fauci, or the book, Celia helped RFK Jr. write that book. And she's also in the film. She makes quite a few statements in the film. If you've seen that film, it's a great film, too. It shows you what's been going on all this time with this dirty, rotten scoundrel. I mean, that's even saying it nice. This man is a maniac. He needs to be stopped. He needs to be publicly tried and punished. I mean, this is not just because it's a tit-for-tat vengeance. This man should be recognized as one of the worst criminals in all human history. He really is that bad. But he's not alone, of course. Now, you know, we have Gates. We have how many other people? We have, I'm trying to think of who else is, you know how many people there are. Dr. Tedros. And, of course, as you know, they're planning to implement a what they call the World Health Organization Treaty, which will go right around your Senate, and you will have to obey the conditions of this international treaty run by international madmen and psychopaths. So that's how bad it is. So anyhow, we will try to get into that a little bit. But just to kind of give you an idea that Celia was writing these articles, and she has stayed at it for all these years, and a truly an inspirational person, one of the greatest journalists, a muckraking journalist on the level of Ida Tarbell, who wrote the annals of the Standard Oil monopoly many years ago, or Upton Sinclair, who wrote The Jungle, muckraking journalism. And you couldn't get published anywhere except for in places like Spin Magazine. I actually didn't know who Celia was before I found out about all this. I had read an article by Tom Bethel in the American Spectator about the time Neville Hodgkinson of the London Sunday Times uncovered the questions about the entire viral AIDS hypothesis. We knew something was really wrong. This was based on the work of Peter Duesberg, who is, 5 years at least ahead of us. He was asked to write a commentary about cancer research and viruses in Cancer Magazine. Well, he basically spelled it out. Now, you got to understand that Peter Duesberg was essentially the first person, he and his team, to map the genetic structure of retroviruses. And they based almost the entire viral cancer program on his discovery of the Rouse chicken virus, which actually deposited a late gene. But it really wasn't the virus that caused it. It was a genetic situation. So what Peter Duesberg had discovered were oncogenes, not virus-causing genes or virus cancer. So he wrote this book, or not a book, but actually a review for Cancer Magazine. He was invited to write it. And he disputed both the cause of both AIDS, HIV, and also cancer as the cause of these diseases. And, of course, you know, they picked up right away that, you know, he was fighting the HIV-AIDS machinery that was put in place without peer review by Robert Gallo in 1984. During the Reagan administration, Margaret Heckler made this famous announcement that they had found the cause of AIDS, the probable cause of AIDS. Now, think about that for a minute. What if she had said, we have found a cause, a probable cause of AIDS? Have you noticed the difference there between a and the? When you say the probable cause of AIDS, well, there is no other. There is no other. No other thing can ever cause AIDS but HIV. Yet, in fact, the Centers for Disease Control had this category of what they called ICL, idiopathic cytotoxic leukopenia, which means these people are developing acquired immune deficiency, but they don't have HIV, or they don't test positive for the antibody, which they didn't have, actually weren't using PCR to begin with. It was all an antibody test, which was incredibly nonspecific. Nonspecific. And it didn't have the selectivity that a test should. I mean, we have come up with about 100 different things that will cause you to test positive for HIV antibody that are without having any HIV. So it wasn't a selective test. Margaret Heckler was an idiot, and she fell for this. Robert Gallo, who had been studying retroviruses for years, was this clown who came up with this theory. It was late 1984. The election was coming up. Reagan wanted to do something about AIDS. People were worried about the blood supply. It was all political. There was never any peer review behind all this, friends. Never. And so the biggest problem that we had was that they hoisted this thing on the public without peer review, without any real investigation, based on a hypothesis that was absolutely absurd. Okay, and some of you are probably even aware of the viral hypothesis, though all virology is actually in question these days, too. But it was certain that there was nothing really behind here. Even the test results that Gallo was basing this discovery, so-called discovery, on weren't released. They weren't even out in the public at that time. They weren't publicized until about a week later. And even at that time, when the test results came out, less than half of the patients that he had who had AIDS actually tested positive for HIV. So we had a real problem. Not only that, but they were saying that it was a sexually transmitted disease. Now, I don't know if I'm going to shock a lot of you, but you folks, you know, you can handle it. You folks can handle the truth. HIV is not even transmitted sexually, friends. That was a lie, too, from Robert Redfield. Do you remember that guy? Not Robert Redford, the director, Robert Redfield. Did that name ring a bell? Ding, ding. Yeah, Centers for Disease Control. Remember how he stepped in, the bald-headed guy? He was the one that created that fear. Even to this day, the Centers for Disease Control says HIV can be sexually transmitted. But in 1987, one of their top experts, a guy whose name was Dr. Walter Dowdle, D-O-W-D-L-E, I believe it is, he was their top expert in sexually transmitted diseases. And what he had published in the Wall Street Journal, you know, oddly enough, in a financial newspaper, was tests that went back to 1987, where they assessed what the likelihood of HIV transmission sexually was. His rendering and judgment of that likelihood was like being hit by lightning, 1 out of 1,000 encounters. Now, that's not impossible, right? But he said 1 out of 1,000 sexual encounters between heterosexuals is about the likelihood of HIV being transmitted sexually, okay? So they had known really from the very beginning this was never a sexually transmitted disease, and they lied to you. Yeah, they lied, and they're still lying to you. If you believe that HIV is a sexually transmitted virus that causes AIDS, friends, you've been taken now for 30 years, well over 35. Because these results were held back. The Wall Street Journal published it because they knew the whole thing was crashing. AIDS went into decline in 1992, friends. That's how long it's been in decline. It was clearly going into decline. The new AIDS cases and deaths were dropping off. This disease has been gone now since 1992 for over 31 years, isn't it? Yep, I think it is. And we are continuing to pay more and more each year for the budget. Now, when Reagan was running for office, he needed something to kind of get this thing out of the public eye. You know what I mean? He had to do something because everybody was afraid of the blood supply. Everybody was afraid of this, you know, Typhoid Mary plague that they thought was going to happen. Another germ scare. And who was behind all that? There was another guy who was working as a liaison in between Robert Gallo, Margaret Heckler, Health and Human Services, and everybody involved in all this, including Abbott Laboratories that was developing the test. His name, Anthony Fauci. Okay, so he was involved with this in the very beginning. He was just a kind of an underling at what they call the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease at that time. He would eventually become, you know, the commander of the ship, if you like, the commander of the destroyer, coming up with all kinds of phony diseases and things like that, and very, very toxic cures. They're not cures at all. They actually cause the disease or supposed to prevent. It's what's happening with AZT, which is designed to destroy DNA. It's not a side effect. It's what it is supposed to do, is to destroy your DNA. Now, you can understand why when Celia was writing these articles about these pregnant women in Africa being given this drug, and I know actually people who were in tests that had, during their pregnancy, that had this problem as well. One of them passed away, a good friend of mine, locally out here in the area where I live. So, I mean, getting back to the whole story, though, all of this was a scam. All of this was a horrific scam back in 1984. And it continued. A couple years later, you know, they got the Vaccine Immunity Act passed. Fauci was behind that. So all these companies making the vaccines weren't going to be held accountable. You see how this has gone. So I don't want to drag you through too much of the past, because Seaman and I are going to talk about it when she gets on. And it's going to be exciting. I think you're going to hear a lot of good things from her. But we're talking about primarily what has happened over all these years that is now enormous. And it could possibly take down over 1 billion people in the next year. And this is what's been predicted by a lot of people. And this is a long-term slow fuse burning on this thing, friends. The more boosters you have, everybody knows, the more dangerous it is. They have been lying to you all this time. All this time. So, you know, one of the top journalists to uncover this, of course, is a legendary friend of mine, Celia Farber, writing for Spin Magazine. You know, how are you going to ever get any information out to the mainstream when you have Fauci blocking everything, putting pressure on the mainstream news networks, not inviting them to the next AIDS conference if they don't toe the line? I mean, it was worse than that, though. I mean, they were really putting pressure on the media to keep lying and lying and lying and lying to you. And they're still doing it. They're still getting away with it, except everybody knows now what's happening. Yep. Now with COVID-19, another fabrication, another problem. Celia has been covering this all this time with some of the great people who are still out there. Tom DeFernando, he was with Heal New York. He's one of our people. Of course, G. Everett Griffin. Does that name ring a bell to you? Some of you know G. Everett Griffin. He's working with our group as well. We've had some great people all along the way, telling you what's actually been going on. And this thing has gotten huge, and it's crashing economies, it is destroying people's lives, and people are dropping dead, and that is for real. And we can talk a little bit about some of those things as well. So we're here, and we're ready to really make it happen. We want to see, you know, how things go with all of this, and we're hoping that it's going to be working out really well. Let's see if Virginia Farber here. I think she might be. Let's try her, Mr. Producer, and see if she's up and bring her in. And we'll see how that...
I'm here.
Yeah, hi, Virginia. You know, we did a show early. It was really, really great. And I was, you know, it's kind of confusing because Celia Farber and Virginia Farber sound a lot alike. And I'm glad you're hanging on. Celia's going to be joining us, I think, in a couple minutes. She's really under a deadline trying to get some stuff done. But thank you for doing the show and your thoughts on all this, because you know very well what's going on too, Virginia. Well, wait a minute. Oh, now, I think I heard some music. Oh, we're going to skip that. I guess we're going to skip that break. So, hey, we'll move it down a little bit, Virginia. Just to get a quick feedback, a thought, a plan, or what are you getting from all this right now?
Well, I just think we have to be on our toes, and we have to do what we can and talk to as many people as possible. I think that is the more people we talk to, the more awakened they become. And tell people about these radio programs And, you know, they need to seek the truth, and this is where we're at. And then by numbers, we can defeat this.
Yes, we sure can. We can make it happen, I know. We've got so many good people, and here you have two really wonderful ladies that I've had on today, Virginia Farber and Sylvia Farber. Both of them have stood their ground and really fought this machine, friends. And guys, I tell you, you better tip your hat and step up to the plate because, you know, these women are just wonderful, and I really have a lot of respect for both of them. Both of them have been through a lot. And both of them are real troopers in terms of getting these things done. And they both, by the way, have been working with Robert Kennedy Jr. You know, and I think they're both wonderful. I hope I'm not sounding too flamboyant, but the fact is they are brave women, brave, because, you know, there are people, powers that be. You need to pray for these ladies. There are people out there that know that we're communicating, and they know they're being uncovered. These people are being exposed as the evil Satanists they really are. And we have got them, and we've got a long list of, you know, I mean, their rap sheet is, you know, it's 10 miles long in terms of the people they have murdered and used and abused. Yes, they will face judgment. But Virginia, you know, we talked a lot today about what's going on. And Virginia is also paying close attention to what's been happening with vaccines as well, because it's all the same thing. Friends, it's the same stuff, whether it's economic lockdowns, where they're trying to shut off your gas stove. They're telling you can't go to work unless you have a jab. They're telling the people in the armed forces. Now we've got that turnaround thanks to Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, and people like that. I mean, they're controlling your news media, lying and lying and lying. Some people are as thick as bricks. They can't figure out that they're being lied to the way they have. I've just told you, HIV was never a sexually transmitted disease. HIV, the virus, and AIDS was never sexually transmitted. There was a lady who, her name was Nancy Padian, a Dr. Padian, and she conducted a study. I think there were 174 discordant couples, meaning one person had HIV, the male or the female, and the other one didn't. They followed them for 6 years. What is it, 172, 300 times twice? It's over 300. For 6 years, not one case of sexually transmitted HIV and AIDS. Not one in all that time. It's all been a lie. And Robert Redfield, not Robert Redford, Robert Redfield was behind all that. He was the guy that Birx and Fauci pulled in to be the head of Centers for Disease Control. And this son of a bitch skated. He got out. And you don't hear anything more from him, right? Right now, this guy is, he saw it coming. He got loose. And now we got this, what is it, Walensky, this crazy, wicked woman. I mean, we got these wackos running this kind of stuff up here. And, of course, well, I won't go into Donald Trump yet, but he should have never fallen for this, ladies and gentlemen. There was no excuse for it. We had Scott Atlas in that Oval Office with Birx and Fauci, and they were deathly afraid that he was going to win his influence over Trump. Trump blew it bad, and he's in real trouble for it. Virginia, give me a breath here for a second. What do you think of all this? You've heard it. You know the story. Everything that's happening here.
Yes, and I think it's the perfect plan. This is what they've planned all along, and they want to double down on everything that we are getting. And, you know, basically, like we've talked before, the World Economic Forum, and don't forget the United Nations.
Right.
These are the two entities that are, and they're both NGOs, by the way, non-governmental organizations, and they are literally running our country. They're running our food supplies. They're running our wireless. They're running the vaccines. This is what's going on. They are in complete control right now.
Yes, they sure are. And you know, this is the thing. So many of these areas that, of all of what we've been doing with RBN, with the alternative media, those of us who want to stand for the Constitution, it's all threading together, and we're seeing the same enemies. It's the UN. It's the internationalists. It's the banks. It's the huge, dangerous pharmakia sorcery industry of medical control. And it's all international. Another thing that Virginia has talked about quite a bit is the D.L. Piper, isn't her Piper law firm.
Yes, D.L.A. Yeah. Piper law firm. That is the law firm that Doug Imhoff worked for. Now, he is Kamala Harris's husband.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, this law firm, it's global. They are completely involved in everything. They've been involved in the elections with Dominion. They are pushing. They had a Pfizer, I can't remember what they called it, a Pfizer plan, and they had 90 attorneys that were working on it. They are completely involved in the wireless industry, and I found out that there's a revolving door between the FCC and this DLA Piper law firm. There, several of the people that worked for the FCC go directly to work for DLA Piper. And it kind of gets convoluted. It's one of those rabbit holes. There's something called the, as far as wireless, there's something called the ITU. That's the International Technology Union. And that's the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. And so if you read their logo, it says we are to connect the world. That's what their logo stands for. But for the longest time, I thought, okay, what is the link to the United States? And lo and behold, there's something called the U.S. ITUA, the United States International Technology Union Association, and DLA Piper is one of the members of this group, too. So this is, it's very convoluted, but if you start looking and do research between the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, DLA Piper, I mean, it's just a big rabbit hole to go down. But, you know, we've got all kinds of things to check out and pay attention to.
Yeah, we sure do. You know, Virginia, I think Celia just joined us. We've only got a couple minutes before the break. I'm going to bring her on, give her an introduction. And, of course, I already did already. You know, she's a legend in our time, really, in the writing. That she's like you. She's been a bold woman, and she stood up, and she's been there and going back with HIV. Celia, are you there? How are you doing?
I'm here, Steve. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Good.
I was just trying to find and read that Wall Street Journal article before coming on, but I only found the headline, but it gave me the gist of it.
Yeah. You know, you've done such great work over the years, and, you know, you've also worked with Robert Kennedy Jr. With this book, just like, you know, Virginia's with us, and she was the, she worked on the law case concerning the 5G radiation security of, or the safety of all that. Yeah, so both of you have been such wonderful, you know, crusaders, I hate to use that word, or fighters in this whole thing. And Sylvia, you know, I kind of gave you a long introduction, and I know you're busy. You've got some things you're working on, deadline right now. You're a great writer. You're legendary. You were the one who inspired me to stay in the fight when
really?
I gave up. Oh, yeah. I think I've said that many times publicly. In 92, I tried to get the documentary out, and it failed. I didn't get it out until 96, my documentary, HIV equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud, which, by the way, Celia is in just a portion of it. I wish I'd had more. But the thing is, you were the one, because when I read those stories, and Virginia, Celia has been to Africa. She's been to these places. When I heard about what they were doing when they were poisoning these pregnant women and killing these children with AZT, I knew we had to get into it. And you and Joan Shinton and so many other, Dave Rasnick, Peter Duesberg, you guys went to South Africa. I think we averted a major mass genocide in Africa because of what your work there. But anyway, I've talked about a lot of things, and I know there's a lot on your mind. As we were talking before the show, it's just breaking open, Virginia. Celia and I were talking about this. Go ahead, and we got a minute or so. I think we got about a break coming up, but I want you to get into that. We'll have a long segment in the next segment coming up here. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, I love you. You're wonderful, and you're. It's interesting you say. I didn't actually realize that I was your inspiration to stay in it, because you've often been my inspiration to stay in it. But you don't just stay in it; you stay in it cheerfully, whereas I stay in it with all kinds of mood swings. But
right on.
And I think we're winning.
We are winning. Hang in there, Sydney. We're going to get back to you. Stay with us right after the break.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Yeah. In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Woohoo! Yeah! We are back. The National Intel Report. So glad to be here. Sitting in for Steve Elkins right now. Steve's out a little bit. He's going to be back this week, I'm sure. Just keep praying for him and his voice. Mike and I were talking about Steve's voice before the show. He didn't sound like himself, but he will be back. I'm glad to sit in. You know, I work here. I'm a volunteer at RBN, you know, and I'm glad to do it because you're here. We got some great things happening. We're going to keep this going. Tonight, I have just two great guests. And, of course, you know, you heard Virginia on today on my show, Lightspeed, but I have Celia on with us, Celia Farber. And she has been an inspiration to me for so many years, and she's hung in there. And Celia, we were talking before the show a little bit. Now I just want to kind of turn it over to you to let you explain this explosion that we're seeing now of what has been building all this time, Celia.
Yeah, so for people like us who have been aware, I guess I would say, of the pharmaceutical, like the potential of pharmaceutical, the axis between pharma, government, and media to cause actual mass death. We saw that with AIDS. We saw it with AZT. We were considered not just marginal and not just wrong, but it was pretty much, you know, as you lived through, and did I, it was the worst thing you could be was an AIDS. It was called an AIDS denier. So right. It's really interesting that they use these religious terms. So now in 2023, right at this moment, what I think we're witnessing is not just the breakdown of and the exposure, it's a very painful exposure of the truth about the damage and death wrought by the COVID shots, but also the whole larger attack on humanity that has been going on for at least, of course it goes way, way, way back, but let's just begin, put it on the map that when they started tying random new novel, what they called viruses, with a terror campaign through the media, with in the case of COVID vaccines and in the case of HIV, they had a lot of different weaponry. But these are attacks on life, they're attacks on humanity, attacks on the entire psyche of everybody on the planet. So I feel like it's a much bigger story than people who are on the cutting edge of it tend to view it. In other words, if this one falls down, and I think it's falling down right now, what we really have to get at is how do we defang this monster once and for all? And it's a big, big question. I can't answer it, but what I can say is, again, as painful as this is, and I really, really feel so deeply for every single person who did take the shot on all the best, this is what they play on, the best in humans. I want to be responsible. I want to protect my family, my community. So they played on that, and they got people to take between, let's say, one and I don't even know what the outpost number is, two, three, four, five, or maybe even more shots. There was a big study that came out that Steve Kirsch posted on his Substack called the Cleveland Clinic Study, and it all tells the same story. One doesn't need to get into too many numbers or too deep in the weeds, but they looked at 51,011 working-age people, and quite simply, the more shots they'd had, the more likely they were to get what is now called COVID. Now, this is also from the AIDS era, right? What's the definition of the illness? It becomes an umbrella term. It encompasses, there's no specificity in the diagnosis. But okay, let's just rewrite that a little. The more shots they get, they got, the more sick they were. The more sick they were. And so what we're seeing now is it's impossible to keep the elephant in the closet. Absolutely impossible. And we're seeing massive, I think, really mainstream, stunning to my ears, admissions. And I've always felt like once the dam breaks, the dam really, really breaks, right? And I think that's what's happening right now. Now, I've written about this on my Substack a lot. As you know, you're on my Substack, and we're all back and forth. There's one camp that thinks they've decided to pull the rug out. They've decided to do this planned demolition. It's all part of it. I don't tend to take that view. So it's so queasy, right? Because I'm incredibly happy that this is happening. The truth is coming to light, and we have a real shot at freedom for humanity. But
yeah,
it does mean this excruciatingly terrifying moment where so many people, because I think that they were hanging on to, as long as, you know, the Wall Street Journal isn't telling me this, well, now they are. You know, the Wall Street Journal has just said it. And so on and so on. And the dominoes are going to keep falling. And I think it has already become almost like a fringe view to defend vaccines. I never thought I'd live to see this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's taken a long time. I think you and I both thought in the beginning we might see something like this, but we didn't, and it just kept dragging on. And I actually got to the point where I was, I know this sounds sort of strange, but I was actually kind of glad to get on something like 9/11, because we had fought this for years, and I thought maybe 9/11 will start to wake these people up, and it didn't. You know, I mean, how many people still don't understand what happened on 9/11, you know, and the Patriot Act, and then weapons of mass destruction and all this, and the continual lies that have been coming from the mainstream news media that deceive people with fear. the old icy talent theory. You know, if you sink the icy talent of fear into people's minds and the mass mind, you can control them. And that's what Fauci is an expert at. Of course, you were one of the first people that Robert Kennedy Jr. called upon, I'm sure, to help put together and sort the whole thing out, because you have to have the history, really, of Fauci to see what he's been doing. And you remember you were telling me a little bit about the AIDS activists, and I don't want to get too far into the past because so much is happening right now. We, and like you and I, are both speculating as to what's happening. Are they actually openly crashing this system to create an Oro out of of chaos? You know, is that what they're going to try to do? I mean, and
yeah,
but
I guess
go ahead.
I'm one of throughout the AIDS era, the morality that was hovering over the whole thing, that made the whole thing possible, which was not morality, but like an imposed AIDS morality, right? Yes. Was that more that AIDS activists were heroic? They were driving the dodgy government to move and do stuff and be flexible and approve more drugs for this novel illness that they were dying of. So that also meant a strike against bureaucracy, a strike against homophobia, that it was, you know, and this was all inversion. It's like almost like satanic inversion, that they gave us these opposite ideas. It was like the upside down in that show Stranger Things. And what they fed us and primed everybody's mind with was that the FDA drug approval process is this, again, you know, stodgy, bureaucratic, slow, case of AIDS, homophobic and largely unnecessary process and entity, right, and a culture. And now I just, I would pray to have any, to have it back, when it used to take 10 years to get a drug or a medication, and I tend to be against virtually all of them. But okay, we live in a world that there's going to be pharma, there's going to be drugs, there's going to be. But if it's very hard, you can't put a genie back in the bottle. But I'll just speak to that piece of history, that what happened when HIV through the mass media, I'm sorry, when AIDS through the mass media was branded as new disease caused by virus spreading rapidly, started in gay men in big cities. The next thing that happened in terms of the psychological operation was like the rush for a cure. And that was actually the word back then, cure, the cure phrase. AZT was something like 17 weeks studied. I mean, it was in fraudulent trials for, I think that was the number, 17 weeks. So it went from 10 years to 17 weeks. And now 17 weeks is like an eternity. Eventually, the AIDS mass conveyor belt drug approval process for AIDS drugs sped up so fast that, and this may even be outdated, but I read that it was about 2 weeks now to like get a drug onto. I know this sounds insane, but you know, we'll look all this stuff up and get all the exact numbers, it maybe in the future. But my point is the promiscuous issuing of drugs that somehow bypassed the FDA formerly stodgy drug approval process, but that was that had the idea, if you give people a pill, if you give people an injection, it could be dangerous, and that danger could take years to turn up. There's a clip going around of Anthony Fauci saying precisely that about his concerns about an HIV or an AIDS vaccine. He's saying something along the lines of, what if everything looks fine? You give it to a few hundred more. After a year, everybody's okay. You keep going. But maybe 12 years down the line, it's a catastrophe. So all of this is gone now, right, with this orgiastic, this thing that happened where they said there was a new disease. They said it was caused by a virus. And they said, we've got to get a vaccine out now. And everybody got behind it. And it was like watching that play all over again, but on steroids and sped up and with absolutely the entire world media and government institutions and people at the grocery store or down the block all being of this one mind. So in other words, people weren't saying, but wait, what about safety? nobody knew about safety and safety testing and how many years it should take. So everybody had successfully adopted this mentality that faster is better. It should be fast. It should be now. You know, warp speed, right? And Trump got behind this. And I don't know. It's just my pet theory, you might say. But I feel
it's real though.
It would have been possible if it weren't for the AIDS activists who were also very wired in, and we're only now beginning to learn some of the relationships, who they really were. Don't have time to talk about that now. But if it weren't for that, I don't know if we'd be in this catastrophic mess right now. So what do I want from all this? Do I want people to dislike ACT UP or AIDS activists? I guess I just want people to trace back the formation of this beast. Okay, to what end, you know? And it's like to really learn the lesson on the deep and really start over instead of thinking this is limited to the COVID situation.
Right. It won't be either. And, you know, the thing that was added to this also, Celia, was the coercion, you know, for the vaccine. I mean, you couldn't. People, I stood on the corner here in, where I live in Colorado, with people who had worked during the big scare, of course, in ERs and nursing, all through the hospital, who were losing their jobs now because they wouldn't take the jab. And I had a bullhorn out there, and I was calling out Nuremberg. I was saying, look, you know, these were the heroic people. You know, even people like our, you know, who usually hosts this show, Steve Elkins, people like that who refused to take that jab, knowing that it was unsafe, were being shoveled out of the service. They were losing their jobs. They couldn't go anywhere. I mean, the coercion of this was 100 times worse than it was with HIV. But you could have seen this coming. And, you know, I would go around to, you know, being a Christian, I'd go around to pastors and people like that and warn them. I'd say, you know, Pastor, I know this idea that there's a sexually transmitted virus is pretty good in Sunday school to scare the kids and stuff like that. And I'm not against biblical morality. Okay, I want to make that very plain. Yeah, there are real sexually transmitted diseases out there. There absolutely are. HIV just wasn't one of them, you know. But I didn't even tell them that. As much as I would state, I'd say, look, you know, you got to realize that these people are out of control, and they can basically come in and take over things if you allow this kind of bad science to start running things. And guess what? Now we find all these years later, these churches are shut down. And you know, these pastors were telling me, Celia and Virginia, they were saying, well, I think it's better to err on the safe side. And I'm saying, you don't get it. You haven't heard a word of what I told you. You're not erring on the safe side by believing this crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's amazing you should say that, because I saw a headline, Steve, just yesterday. In fact, I took a screenshot of it. I can send it to you later. That's a big... it felt to me kind of boastful, CNN or some mainstream media headline about how many churches have closed.
Yeah,
they couldn't come back after the so-called pandemic. My church in New York, which is Times Square Church, folded very quickly. And I remember the first sermon that I was at when COVID was in the room, so to speak, and the pastor addressed it, and I got this like shudder of feeling, you know. He tried to make a joke out of it, and then at the altar call he had to flat out say, we would clasp hands and say, God bless you, or God be with you, you know. And he had to let us know that wasn't going to happen. And this super weird thing, do you remember the elbow thing,
Right. Yeah.
Like all this weird new choreography, and we just stood there completely confused, like this. And I remember when I walked out of church that day, and I understood my you know, just wonderful pastor Carter Conlon, Times Square Church. He was just doing what he thought was the good thing to do, the Christian thing to do. I get it, but I wanted to go find him. And I wanted to sit him down and say, wait, stop, please listen to me about what's happening here. Who's come into this church? It's the devil himself has come into this church with this. But the church, you can't, you can't blame them, but at the same time, there's part of me that does blame them, because I want to say, since when is it part of Christianity that we fear contagious illness through one another, through... But, you know, it's all the media that people were sold on that, and they sold everybody on that. Fine, you want to kill people? Then keep your church open. Now, it was the same with AIDS. It was, okay, you want to interview Peter Duisberg, who says HIV isn't the cause of AIDS? Go ahead. Everybody reading it, you're risking their life because they're not going to practice safe sex. So it's like these bamboozling, manipulative, gaslighting threats all the time. And most good people can't cut through that because they're good. I mean, we're good too, and we can cut through it. But it's the goodness of people that they prey on. So
that's what they did.
People have to know the history.
Sure did. They took advantage of people, and they played the church. And the church was foolish because they trusted science rather than God, you know, and they didn't listen. There was so much information out there they could have researched, and there were people like myself. I remember even Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN News, did a piece with Peter Duisberg, but immediately, as soon as it was over, they went right back to the mainstream story and didn't even recognize that they'd done it. You know what I mean? And we've known...
Yeah.
I mean, the CDC actually did excellent work in the first few years, and Peter Duisberg credits them with this. They had gone around, they'd done the surveys, they had decided that what was happening was primarily a recreational drug-caused disease among gay men and IV drug users, 95% of it. And here's the thing about it, you know, Celia, they said this was sexually transmitted. When the Army started testing their new recruits for HIV in 85, they found out that 51% of the people with HIV were women, and yet AIDS was 95% men, and of those 95% men, they were mostly IV drug users and gay men in the fast-track lifestyle. You know, HIV/AIDS was really even a threat to most of the gay community. It was just a particular group that were using poppers and a massive amount of drugs, and people who had been shooting drugs on the streets for 10 years, you know? That's what caused it, and it was never a disease. It was always a risky drug behavioral result among a very targeted group of people, and it was never being sexually transmitted. But anyhow,
Well, you know, can I just
go ahead? Yeah.
See, you mentioned 9/11, and here's one thing I think this can be helpful, or at least thinking this way has been helpful to me in recent years. Is if you look back on there, we all know what we mean by PSYOP, right? Psychological operations. So 9/11
right.
was a big one. AIDS was a gigantic one. COVID is the mother of them all. But it's in the rear view mirror that you can see the disintegration of the PSYOP. So, for example, with 9/11, we were all supposed to believe that there were Islamic extremists who hated us for our freedom and had done 9/11 and were going to continue until America had fallen because they, you know, and to be facetious, okay, so where did they go? Did they get so demoralized after supposedly we took out bin Laden? Do they no longer hate us for our freedom because we don't have any? In other words, the PSYOP in the rearview mirror, what happens to it? It all, that's where you can see the lie through the whole thing. If you look at AIDS, the PSYOP was any sexual encounter with anybody with one broken condom is enough to do it. Well, that would have meant that the most sexually active people would have it. So that would mean, like, why didn't Bill Clinton die of AIDS? Why didn't, et cetera, Mick Jagger, right? But people stop thinking about the terror operation once they withdraw it, because then the next one is upon us. But if you look at them in the rearview mirror, I feel sort of like, The back end of it falls off. That's what falls off the PSYOP. It always starts really strong, but the back end falls. And by this time, people are, oh, yeah. We're... Now, the one that has really fallen apart, where most Americans have their eyes wide open, is the JFK assassination. So that's how far back. In other words, the lie holds, but for each passing day, like, it has an expiration date. And they haven't learned how to hold them together for very long. They hold them together while they do the worst of their damage and their agenda. Then they actually lose control of every single pack of lives. And that's kind of, that's what gives me hope, is watching that process.
Yeah. You know, I can only say this, and, you know, I'll get maybe a comment from Virginia before we go to the hour break. But, you know, we are winning, though. I mean, you got people listening to this network. You got people reading your stuff like never before. We got people like RFK Jr. working on these things. We got Virginia out there talking about 5G. We've got, you've been doing your work now for at least 35 years, Celia, and people are paying attention. There is a remnant, the old thing about the remnant. There are a group of people who are waking up and are becoming much more alert, much faster now than before. So that is, it may not turn things around for the whole in society, but I am very proud and pleased to be with people like you and these listeners and this network. And, you know, that's not a promotion. That's a reality and a fact.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, I bow from the waist to Virginia, to Arthur Furstenberg, all these, because what if all the stuff that they've been calling infectious virology for all these decades, and we've fought and fought and fought, viruses aren't today, now there are no viruses, all this stuff, right? But you have to replace it with an alternative. What is causing all this? What if it is 5G that's caused, you know, and that, I think, even for me, that it's so terrifying, and I know deep down that it's true, but at the same time, I want concrete answers, like, okay, if it is 5G, what do we do? What right. can people do? And I almost think the human brain is like, until you tell me what I can do, I can't face it. I mean, 5G is the thing we now all really have to tackle. We have to face it.
Virginia, you got a comment on that before we hit the end break here?
I'm right in line with Celia. I love what she's talking about. So, yep, and I have a lot of hope. You know, I think people are really waking up about the vaccines, and I really think that people are waking up about this wireless crisis as well. So I know there's a lot of people fighting it now, which is actually makes you feel really good.
It sure does. Great ladies on the show tonight. We'll probably take some calls in the next hour. We're going to come up to our end break. I don't know if you can hang with us for a little bit longer, Celia. I know you're busy. We're not going to be talking.
I'm having so much fun. I want to hang out a little bit longer, but I won't talk so much.
Oh, no, it's good to hear from you. It's so good because I'm going to plug your I'm going to shamelessly plug your Substack, Celia Farber at Substack.com, CELIAFARBER, Celia Farber. I'm on there, a lot of great people. I mean, there's some people that are really good folks. Hey, we're coming up to the break. National Intel Report will continue. Stay with us right after the break, and we'll be back again with more.
To lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.